Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Here I am at the Margravine Cemetery in London and Hammersmith, with Hammersmith area. Baron's Court tube station is the nearest one. You can't see it, but behind me, behind those trees, a bit that away, is Baron's Court, if you want to come here. And look at this, like a mortuary chapel. I've never ever seen it open. And look, they've had to put that gauze up there in case vandals were to smash the windows. So this was opened in 1868 with the first interment occurring on the 3rd of November that year. You can see these graves, and there'd been no burials here since 1850, so it's 1951. You see this one, quite well preserved considering, the grave of Walter Hume, various of them as Hume family, and so on. And look, this one's got no headstone, may have fallen over, or did not even have a headstone in the first instance. So people walking their dogs here, and then you can see, must be some late 20th century council housing, unbeautiful over there. Perhaps an early 20th century or 19th century ones. But anyway, it's a bit of a wilderness. I'm glad they've allowed it to go wild in a place, not too tended. Other bits of it are more manicured. And look at that, some of the headstones fallen over. So these are unvisited tombs where people rest from their labours and so forth. And you see how much things have changed when how the United Kingdom wasn't so racially diverse. They're all sort of indigenous British names, for want of a better word. And look at this poor chap. F. Horace Reed of the Royal Air Force died of wounds aged 20, just before the First World War ended. And then a quotation, a little poem there. What does it say? Until I stepped out of the machine, I never knew Horace was wounded. He was a very fine fellow and brave, for he kept on with his Lewis gun all the way down. Wow, until he met his doom, and so on. And look, this bit here has fallen over for Harry Morgan and so forth. And surprising that Harry, that's the official name, rather than just the diminutive of Henry and so forth. So people let their hounds off the lead, and some of them are, you know, just defecating. Not everybody picks it up. Nobody seems to mind because children don't play here. But it's the last resting place of some distinguished people like Sir William Bull, who was the Conservative Member of Parliament. And look at this one, with image of who's at the Blessed Virgin holding onto the cross, and Mary is the woman who's laid to rest here. So William Bull was a solicitor before he went into politics, represented this area in Parliament in the mid-19th century. And indeed on King Street, Hammersmith, there was the William Bull pub, which closed about 10 years ago. There's a little statue of him in Ravenscourt Park. Just trying to think who else was there. Now, Joseph Lyons lived quite close to here, really close to that Kensington Olympia station. And in the 19th century, he pioneered mass catering, as in preparing dinners for hundreds of people, thousands of people, and opened Lyons Corner House, a chain of tea shops all across the United Kingdom. Some were open 24 hours, even in Leicester Square. I remember the great train robber, Bruce Reynolds, said, you know, when he was on the run from the army, he went there one evening. It was not the smartest move, as he said, as the first place the police would look. Why were you there at 3 o'clock in the morning? Why was it open 24 hours a day? Because some people working in the night economy, there were doctors, nurses coming off shift, going on shift, the police, yeah? People going to wait for very early trains, 5 a.m. What if people miss their last train home? Go to Lyons Corner House. So it was thriving in the early 20th century and serving full meals as well, no alcohol. It went into decline in the 1960s, was bought by other companies, and Lyons completely disappeared by 1994. But there was a memorial plaque in the Lyons factory in Greenford, where they prepared a lot of the food, and when that factory finally shut, then they removed those plaques and they put them here. So some people were killed in the First World War, they're buried here, and indeed in the Second World War. So you can see a lot of open space in between the graves, so it often seems more like a park than a cemetery. So what else? Okay, the squirrels are having a good time. I've never seen foxes here, I don't think, and there's a Hungarian Reformed church close by. And that's been here for at least 20 years. There's another one in the Ealing area, because of those Hungarians who profess Christianity, there's only about half, because loads are atheists, about 20% are Protestants, and Debrecen, the second city of Hungary, was the centre of Protestantism in Hungary. And I just going to look at this urn here. That's a standard symbol of 19th and 18th century funerary architecture or monuments, and then beyond the draped urn, as though the person was cremated and as though the mortal remains were kept there. Even the person was not cremated, nevertheless they do that. And referring to someone's remains as ashes, even if he or she were not cremated. I'm going to show you what is part of the neoclassical things, because the Roman sometimes cremated their dead, like Julius Caesar. Bit of a waste of firewood, and so on. Okay, so that's the bit that's left unconquered, and I find that pleasing. That I like my Rus in urbe. I don't like it when it's too tidy, yeah, and too regulated. Oh, just let things be as they are. And there's one colour sergeant who got the Victoria Cross, the highest decoration for gallantry, way back there. And Leach is his surname. He died at the age of 72, a very great age for the 19th century. And he's buried all on his own. There are no graves around. I don't know why, actually. And look at this one here. Look at this fine-looking angel. How about that? At a certain age, people consider their legacy. So when I'm a billionaire, what massive monument I'll have. And again, look at this grave way out here. They're not in tidy rows. Don't quite understand it. So there's a lot of unused space. I'm not sure why they closed it to more burials in 1951, when there's ample space left. Because in 1868, when they would open this was almost countryside. Yes, there was Hammersmith, but, you know, population of London now is almost 10 million. Back in those ways, it would have been about 1.5 million. I remember whole families living in one room, so there were a lot more open space between them. And do you see here? Okay. Now, this is where it gets more of a proper graveyard with things lined up. And it's towards the gate that you'll see the big memorials. Maybe it's a prestigious place to spend eternity. Beyond there, that's where you see Charing Cross Hospital. Now, there's a building right beside Charing Cross Station that really was the hospital. When it was founded in the 19th century, right up until the 1960s. And then that was just too small, wasn't designed as a modern hospital. So they moved it out and they built it here, even though we're about 4 miles west of Charing Cross. So we're in the Hammersmith area. Charing Cross, possibly from Charing, which is Anglo-Saxon for turning point, the bend in the river, and possibly derived from Cher Reine, as in Isabel of Hainaut, in honor of her. The statue erected to her by her husband, King Edward III, when her body was brought down from Lincolnshire, where she died, before being buried there. Now, I read that you'd only be buried here until 1951, but there you see a more recent burial, and then I see a headstone that says 2019. Then again, perhaps that meant if you hadn't bought the plot by then. So there we go. Okay, I wonder how much these things cost, because, you know, even a simple funeral is like 5,000 quid. If a very, very simple one, no attendant, I was told that was 10,000 quid. I was told that way back in about 1,000 quid. I was told that way back in 2010. But, you know, the sky's the limit for building these things, these headstones, statues, several thousand pounds, could be tens of thousands of pounds, and so forth. But people are usually going for a cremation because that is cheaper. Plan your funeral, pay for it in advance. Yeah, a little bit dispirited when these adverts come up. And there's a man of a certain age encouraging people to think about it. I thought, fucking thanks a lot, I'm not that old. Do you know something about my health that I don't? And so we go on. So there's an Australian who made a fortune in gold who's got a memorial up there. There you can see it with little sort of metal scaffolding and covered up. That is a mausoleum for the Young family, which is undergoing serious renovation. Okay, so you've got the idea. This is what the Margravine Cemetery is all about. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.